Thankful for the blood tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that I have a place where I can, where my sins can be washed away. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some things weighing heavy on my heart tonight. I went somewhere today with some young boys and I talked to them. And they told me some things that they face each and every day at a public school. And my heart went out to them. I can barely imagine having to face the things that they did, because I never had to go to a public school. I was raised all my life in a Christian school, but when they begin to tell me some of the things that they went through, they weighed heavy on my heart. I have a different message for us tonight. I may even preach different, I don't know. But in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, in verse 7, it says, "And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came into the threshing floor of Chedron, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" Chapter 15, verse 25. Excuse me, verse 14. "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord." Now skipping to verse 25. "So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with the robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bare the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart." Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this night, God. We stand behind this desk tonight, God, and we ask for your anointing. God, we know that we need the touch of the Holy One. We ask that you would break every yoke, that you would use the Word of God to pierce, God, and divide asunder. And Lord, that you would cause us to come to these altars tonight and search you out, God. And let us know, Father, that you know our innermost being. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Christ's name. Amen. With the help and with the grace of God, I'd like to preach to you tonight on I Want the Ark. I Want the Ark. David left off with the question in 1 Chronicles 13, 12. He said, "How shall I bring the Ark of God home to me?" How shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? We're living in a day when wickedness is on every hand. We're living in a day when no matter where we turn our eyes to look, we see something that if we're really saved and if we're really wanting to live holy, it's going to vex our soul. We look around us and we see unrighteousness on every hand. We see sinners as they go about their daily life sinning, and they never take a thought of what they're doing. They never take a thought of how they vex the heart of God and how they break the heart of God as He looks down from heaven and looks upon their souls as they continue to live as a slave to sin. We're living in a day and age when no matter where we go for vacation, no matter where we go for relaxation, we can't seem to escape sin. No matter what we do, no matter where we send our children, no matter what we do for our church, there is always a factor that we will face that is unholy. There is always a person, there is always a group that is not living for God. But you see, we're living in a day of promise. For you see, in Acts, it was promised to us that we would have the Holy Ghost. It was promised to us, and it was promised to our children. The ever-abiding presence of God was given to us. That's what I want to preach to you about tonight, on having the ever-abiding presence of God. No matter where you're at, no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter who lives for God around you, no matter if you go home and your spouse is unsaved, no matter if you go home and your mom and dad is unsaved, I want to preach to you tonight that you can go in the presence of God, that you can face the enemy not alone. You won't face the enemy by yourself, but you will face them with holding the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you on having the presence of God. You see, David left the question. He said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? In those days, the ark of God was a symbol of the presence of God Almighty. When the children of Israel lost the ark, they lost one of the most precious things that they could ever possibly have. And David, as the king, recognized that they needed the presence of God, that they needed the ark of the covenant. If they were ever to be a nation that lived in power, if they were ever to be a nation that lived in the presence of God, they needed the ark. David wanted the ark. There are some reasons that David wanted the ark. There are some reasons why David thought that the children of Israel needed the ark. And I imagine that David was vexed in his soul. And David was vexed in his heart as he thought, I need to bring the ark home. And so David asked the question, how shall I bring the ark of God home? I talk to these children today and they begin to tell me how that they went to school and there were gangs. How that they went to school and there were drugs. How that they went to school junior high and there were girls who were running around pregnant. How that they went to school and they were ridiculed because they were Christians. Why did they suffer? Why do they go to school every day and say, I'm a Christian, only to be made fun of? Why do they go to school every day to say, I'm a Christian, only to be mocked and scorned? Because somewhere along the way, they got an experience in the presence of God. Somewhere along the way, they found an altar, and God touched them. You see, they wanted the presence of God. These young people begin to talk to me and they begin to say, I want to live for God this school year. He said, but I don't know if I can make it. He said, I'm afraid to go to school because if I do, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my touch of God. I'm afraid if I go to school where there's sin on every hand, I'm going to lose the revival that's in my heart. He said, and ever since youth camp, I felt so close to the Lord. He said, but I'm afraid to lose it. If anything, tonight I want to preach to the parents. If anything, tonight I want to preach to the church. And I want us to have a cry from our heart when we leave this place. I want the ark. I want the ark. For you see, David was the leader of Israel. David was the king of Israel. And he recognized the need that they needed the ark. They needed the presence of God. David wasn't satisfied to have the ark somewhere else, but he wanted it at home, resting where he knew that it should be. Tonight, before we leave this place, I would like for us to realize that if we are going to keep our children, if we are going to keep the doors of this church opened, if we are going to see souls saved, we are going to need the ark of God. We are going to need the presence of God, and we are going to need a cry from our hearts that says, I want the ark. I want the ark. There are some reasons why we should have this ark. Now, I told you I'm going to preach different to you. We need the ark for ourselves. One of the reasons that we need the presence of God is for ourselves. For you see, if we go through this Christian life never touched by the presence of God, never touched by the anointing of God, we begin to go cold in our hearts. We begin to go cold in our souls because we never experienced that relationship. We never experienced that touch of God that He so desires to give us. We need it for ourselves. We're strong. We're strong. We can read the Bible and we can draw great conclusions with our mind of what the Bible says, and we can do our best to live by them. But you see, without the presence of God, we're not going to make it. Without the presence of God, we will not live the Word of God to its fullest extent. You see, the Bible says in 2 Peter that we became partakers of the divine nature. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but I'm going to give you my opinion of what the Word of God is. I've studied, and what the Word of God has showed me, that when we became partakers of the divine nature, we were given the righteousness of Christ. You see, our old man was destroyed. Our old man was done away with, and God gave us His very nature inside of our hearts. And it is our duty as Christians to let that nature flourish and grow, and to do our best to keep any sin from touching that nature. Amen? We walk around and say, what is holiness? What is holiness? That's holiness. When we do our best to let no sin touch the nature that Christ has put in us, and allow Christ to grow within our hearts, and not have our nature be dominant, not have our nature be the one that rules, but the nature of Jesus Christ. And one reason why this nature is so important is because if we are ever to live in the presence of God, this nature must rule. Christ's nature must rule. Hear me tonight. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul knew that it wasn't he who was living, but it was Christ within him. What was it that Christ did as He walked the earth? It's not a hard concept, but it's one that I feel that we miss so much. We miss the meaning of. I know this isn't an evangelistic message, but maybe you'll just get something out of it, I hope. This nature is so important. When Christ was on the earth, what did we see Christ do? We saw Him minister through the Word. We saw Him minister through healing. We saw Him minister through deliverance. Why? Because He had the presence of God. He had the anointing of the Holy Ghost within Him. We know that He was God, but He was 100% God, and He was 100% man. And the Bible says that He did His works through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because He stayed in contact with God. We can read in numerous accounts and occasions that Jesus stole away to pray. that Jesus knew the importance of prayer, the importance of coming to God with his soul's need and crying out to God and having communion with the Father. Well, I don't know if Jesus ever said it, but I can just imagine the cry of his heart was, I want the presence of God. And when that nature of Christ begins to become an effect inside of your life, you will not be happy for yourself when you kneel down to pray unless you've left the place and you know that you've had the ark of God visit your camp, and you know that you've been in the presence of God, and through the spirit of adoption, you've cried, Abba, Father, and the Spirit has interceded through you and has met the very needs of your heart. When that nature comes to the front, you cannot and you will not be satisfied until you have touched God. David was not satisfied until he had the ark of God resting home. We will never see revival until our hearts become hungry for a touch from God Almighty. We will never see the revival that lingers and tarries. We will never see the revival that changes hearts and lives, not just for a week, not just for a month, but forever and ever, until we become unsatisfied with what we have. And when we become unsatisfied and long for the ark, long for the ark. You need the ark. You need the presence of God for yourself to help you make decisions. I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, but if you're ever to make a decision that is godly and that is wise, you need to touch God a few times and hear from the Lord. Before you ever, ever make up your mind to do anything, you need to come in contact with the ark. Hello? Before you ever make up your mind to do anything, you need to touch the ark. You need to know that you know that you know that you've heard from the Lord. Every decision that you make is going to have an effect on your future. I looked at these young children, I said, God, I said, God, let them come in contact with the ark. Let the ark abide in their lives. Let the presence of God abide in their lives. The second reason that we need the ark is for our homes. We need the ark for our homes. You see, our children, when they leave the doors of our home, that home is their sanctuary. That home is a place they retreat to from the storms of life. It's a place that when they come in, they need a place that they can find help. They need to know that there's people there who love them. They need to know that there's people there who pray for them. They need to know that they can go there no matter what they've done and find help. That home is a place of refuge for the youth. That home is a place of refuge for our children. And if ever in a day and age we have needed the presence of an almighty God, we need the presence of God in our homes today. They are facing things that we could never imagine. They are facing trials that we could never imagine. And if they've ever needed a place where they could go to find the presence of God, they need to be able to run to mama and daddy and say, Daddy, I need you to pray for me. Daddy, I need you to help me. Daddy, I need God to touch me. It shouldn't be a strange thing for the presence of God to rest in our houses, but it should be the normal thing that we have the presence of an almighty God, even in our homes. You see, home. You want joy in your home. You want your marriage to flourish. You want your children to flourish. You need to have the presence of God in that home. When you bring the ark of God to yourself, don't keep it inside, but take it to your house. Let the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding rest in your home. Let those children know that they can come to a place where they don't have to see things that are of the world. They don't have to see things that are unsanctified. But they know that when they go there, they're going to go to a place where there is help for their thirsty and for their hungry souls. I don't know about you, but I want the ark. I want the ark of God back in our churches, back in our homes, back in our lives. We're losing children left and right because we've allowed the ark of God to slip away. But if we could go tonight and get it back, we would see a change. We would see a revival of the Holy Ghost within our families and within our homes. You want your spouse saved? Take on the ark. You want to see your husband and your wife saved? Take on the ark. Let that presence of God dwell within you. There is an anointing that can save your household. There is a touch of God that can save your household, but you've got to begin to let the nature of Jesus Christ come to the front. You've got to begin to let the character of Jesus Christ come to the front. And pretty soon that person's going to look at you and say, something has made a difference in your life. And when they see that, they're going to begin to thirst. They're going to begin to hunger. And when you bring home the ark, they're going to be broken in the presence of God Almighty. And victory will be brought to your home. And you can have the peace of God. You can have the joy of the Lord right in your very own house. Say, I don't know a whole lot. I want to be the first to tell you. I don't know a whole lot about running our own family. I've never had one. But just through reading the Word and through looking around, I see that there is a need for the presence of God in the home. Why do we lose so many children? We raise them up and we take them to children's church. We take them to Sunday school. We take them to revival meeting after revival meeting, camp meeting, send them to youth camp, and then when they get 18 years old, they're gone. We never see them. We work. We send them to Christian school. 18 years old. Phew, out the door. Why is it? I know not every time. But I'm going to say a good vast majority of the time. It's because we've forgotten to let the presence of God rest in our homes. We lived a different life when we came to church than when we walked out the back doors. Hello? You want your children to be raised in a godly home and in a godly heritage? You want to win your children to Christ? Why don't you walk the walk every day? Why don't you talk the talk every day? And why don't you bring home the ark of God and let them not just see you shout around in front of the altar, but let them see you walk out of the church doors and walk in Christ and grow in Christ, and they'll begin to see something's different in mama and daddy, and they'll want something from God. If you want the joy of the Lord, you want the peace of God, bring home the ark. Bring home the ark. We've given too much to the devil. We've given too much to the devil because we've gotten too lazy to live a life for Jesus Christ. This thing is more than just an emotion. I could preach to you emotion every night. I could preach to you about the blood. I could preach to you about the Holy Ghost. We could get happy just a little bit. We could worship just a little bit. But there's some things that are more important than just lifting our voices to God. There's a life that must be lived consistently so that your children could see that you have touched the presence of God. When you touch the presence of God, you move different. When you really come in contact with the presence of God, you won't be the same. Isaiah saw him and he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people." Now wait a minute. What happened? He got next to something that was holier than him. He got next to something that was holier than the holiest. He got next to the Holy. The Holy One. And when he did, he saw that he wasn't all that he should be. Tonight, if we could just get next to the Holy One, if we could just get a glimpse of Christ magnified, of Christ uplifted, of Christ as the angels march around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." We wouldn't leave this church the same. We wouldn't leave this church the same. But we would leave saying, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I need to make some changes in my life and in my home." You need to make some changes. I don't particularly get a thrill out of preaching like this. The Lord told me to preach it. We need the ark. We need the presence of God. The Quakers used to sit. They'd come to church and they'd sit until they begin to shake. The presence of God would fall. Oh God, if we could get in our hearts that we wanted to see the glory of God. We wanted to see the presence of God so much that no matter what it took, we'd humble ourselves down. Hey, I'm not just talking about just, "Hey, let's obey God, let's run," but I'm talking about no matter what it took on Monday morning, no matter what it took on Tuesday morning, no matter what it took on Wednesday morning to see the glory of God on Wednesday night, that is what we'll do. We would come to church with our hearts so intent, so hungry for a touch from God, that we would leave this place, even if we'd been in the presence of God, we'd leave it saying, "I want the ark. I want more of God. I want more of God." I don't know what you come to church for, but I came tonight to see the glory of God. I came tonight to know that I know that I've touched the ark, to know that I know that something inside of me has been changed, that something inside of me is different because I viewed the Holy One in His holiness. In His holiness. I told you, I don't know what night it was, that the word seraphim literally means burn. The seraphim literally burned in their own holiness. But the Bible says that when they stood in the presence of God, that with twain they covered their face with their wings. And with their wings they covered their feet. Why? Because even though they burned in their own holiness, they weren't holy enough to view the Holy God. They weren't holy enough to stand in the presence of a holy God. Oh, my Lord and my God. I tell you tonight, if God was to walk in that back door tonight, I guarantee you there'd be some of us hitting an altar and we'd be saying, "I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man whose heart needs to be purged, whose heart needs to be touched by the presence of God." Oh, what happens when we bring the ark home? Our churches begin to have revival, a revival that causes us to be changed. Amen. We get in the heart so much that revival comes when sinners begin to be saved. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. Hello. Us. Me. You want to see sinners saved? You want to see your youth on fire for God and a fire that will stick? Let it begin in the house of God. Let it begin in the house of God. There's a third reason why we need the ark tonight. We need the ark for a lost and for a dying world. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, excuse me, Mark 16. Verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt him. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them." We need the ark for a lost and for a dying world. Even while I'm speaking to you tonight, there are souls that are slipping away into eternity. Souls that have not yet been touched with the true presence of God. Souls that have not yet really felt the touch of God. But you know what, tonight, if we would leave this place carrying the ark on our shoulders, the Bible says that we are God bearers. We bear him inside of us in earthen vessels. If we would take the presence of God in this earthen vessel and let it break and let it shine forward into a world that is lost and dying, we would see men and women as they begin to come to the house of God, fall on the altars and turn from their sins and be changed and touched beneath the power, the presence, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We would see it happen. We wouldn't just hear tell about it. We wouldn't just read about it, but we would see it. I said we would see it. For you see, the ark of God, the presence of God, makes a difference. The Bible says that it's the anointing that destroys every yoke. It destroys every yoke. Hallelujah. We could see this world revival. We could see this world evangelized with some people who were carrying the presence of God right here in their hearts, who knew the cost for revival, who knew the cost for the anointing. They would take it forward and they would march forth and shine the light of the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every. Nowhere did I ask him, did I hear or read Jesus asking us, please go. Would you please take my Bible and preach the word? He said, go. He said, go. But he didn't send us alone. He said, tarry you here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We have the presence of God right here. We have the touch of God that is needed right here. I'm fixing to close, but I want us to read again in Chronicles what happened when they brought the ark home. I want us to read exactly what happened when they brought back the ark. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out of the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can picture with me tonight, but I wish to God that we could picture those back doors opening up and seeing the ark of God come in. And when the ark of God comes in, we won't sit anymore. You see, when we really have the ark, something wells up inside of us. The Bible says that they went 6 paces and made an offering. The Bible says that they went 6 more and they made an offering. Brother and sister, when the ark of God comes into the tabernacle, when the ark of God comes home, we won't go very far, but we'll be stopping and saying, thank you, Jesus. We won't go very far, we'll be stopping and saying, thank you, Lord. We won't walk very far, but pretty soon something's going to get in our feet, and we're going to rejoice a little bit. When the ark of God comes home, when we really get the ark back, we'll have a reason to shout. When we really get the ark back, it'll break us loose in the praises of the Master, to the praises of God Almighty when the ark comes home. Hallelujah. When the ark comes home, we will worship God. We will worship God. I didn't expect this to be a shouting message. I really didn't. You know what my desire tonight is in this altar service? Is that we would get some people who would come to this altar with their hearts crying out, I want the ark. I want the ark. That's my desire. We'd get some people who'd come to the altar and say, no matter what it takes, God, I want the ark. We just got a few more nights of revival. But you know what? I want the ark in every one of them. I want the ark in every one of them. Today I fell on my face before God. And I said, God, I don't know if I've done enough, but Lord, I know that I'm not near what I need to be. God, send the ark to my house. God, send the ark to my house. And he did. He sent the ark home. I said, he sent the ark home. I'm not leaving here tonight satisfied until I know that I know that I've touched the ark. Until I know that I know that I've touched the ark. I don't know about you, but I want to see your children saved. I don't know about you, but I want to see your children back in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see your grandchildren saved. I don't know about you, but I want to see this church break out in revival. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to make sure that the ark of God was resting in the sanctuary. I came to make sure that the ark of God was resting in my heart. I'm not going to leave this place saying I'm satisfied, but I want to leave saying I want the ark. I want the ark. I said I want the ark of God back in my house. Stand to your feet tonight. We preached about the blood. We sing about the blood. Oh, I thank God for the blood. But the blood isn't all that there is to this thing. The blood opened the doorway for us. Now we're opening it. Now let's run with this thing. We need the ark. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not one of you here can argue with me tonight that we need the ark. I didn't expect to make an altar call to any individual. I wanted to preach to the church tonight and say, are you hungry for the ark? Are you hungry for the ark? I'm not even going to make an altar call tonight. This is what I want us to do. I want us to come to these altars, and I want us to find a place to pray. And I want us to ask God to send the ark back home. I want us to ask the question, how shall I bring the ark of God home? How shall I bring the ark of God home? Would you come tonight? I want the ark. I want the ark tonight.